short, it's actually more a thank you to you guys that prayed with us. In short, some of you know I work on a contract with Anglo American, and some of you businessmen will know Anglo was actually approached by BHP to be bought out completely. Now, in a big corporate context, that's just a mess. If one big conglomerate buys out the other one. In that same time, Anglo American decided they're going to sell off platinum and they're going to sell off De Beers. And then they had this whole moratorium of they're not filling any vacancies, they're not extending any contractors, nothing. And on top of Anglo, or all the mineral big mining houses, is in a tough space. Commodity prices are low. It is cyclical, we get that. But where we are now, it's not looking good. And me and Lindy was like, oh my word, we need a miracle. Some of you guys will know we bought the house end of last year. In faith, God told us he'll give us this house, but it must be for his kingdom. And we were like, but God, we're only in this for 6 months. Do you want us to move again? What is this? And we asked you guys to pray with us, find the Lord, what is it? And we went on this holiday for us for 2 weeks, actually in faith, because I was paid per day and no work, no pay issue. And in the world's eyes, it might have been, you stupid, you foolish to go on a holiday. If you come back after a week, you might not have a job, and most likely will not have a job. But in short, the God was so faithful. In the 2 weeks that we were away, he did such a deep work in myself, in Lindy, and even giving us a vision of how our next season might look like. And we're pretty much sure what that looks. And when that pans out in 5 weeks, 5 years, 10 years, we don't know. Then we came back. In that 2 weeks, we didn't get any feedback, no mails, nothing. It was like, oh my word. Then Monday, we arrived back on Sunday. Monday, we went quickly and visited Lynn in the hospital. Still, I needed to fly out to Joburg that Monday afternoon. And we actually joked. I said, I'm flying up with a laptop. I don't know if I come back with a laptop because this is our last week. I don't know. But as we came from Lynn back, I got a ping, ping. My contract is being extended. And that in itself is just a miracle. Nothing that I did. I'm not super. There were 70 global contractors that they needed to see. Should they keep on? The decision was made in London. So all these decisions was pulled up to the. So it's really just purely a miracle that our contract was extended. So thank you guys for praying with us, standing with us. We really appreciate it. Ella.
Hi, everyone. So I wanted to share what happened a couple of weeks ago when we went to Otsuan for an outreach. So it started at COM on Wednesday, and Billy and Michaela put out the call that they want to go to Otsuan as a COM group, specifically to serve at kids' church on Sunday. And I was very keen. I was like, oh, I want to go, please. I think the Lord's been stirring sort of a heart to serve since last year. So I was just super keen to go to Otsuan again. I'd been last year. It was such an incredible time, and I really wanted to go back. The Lord started working, and there was just this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. From Wednesday, we prayed for the weekend. And so Saturday morning, we drove through to Otsuan very early. For the prophetic training time with Milani. And I've been to a few of them. And if you know Milani, she likes doing prophetic exercises. And so we did 3 in total. And throughout that time, it was just really trusting and in the Lord that he would like stir something in me to share with the person. So we'd get into different groups. And it was super awesome because 2 out of the 3 times the Lord actually kind of hit it on the spot, like with what I shared to the person. And it was super awesome, because before we'd even sat down, like before I'd even sat down next to the person, the Lord had given me a word or a picture or something to write down for the person. So it was purely just trusting in the Lord and waiting on Him for what He wanted to say to whoever it was that I happened to sit next to. And for two out of the three times, the Lord, He put something on my heart and it resonated with the person. It was right, and that I'd never really done much prophetic for people, or given someone a prophetic word and been like right, or been and so it was super awesome, and I think it really just stirred such a heart in me for the prophetic, just that how the Lord can use you to share or to uplift and encourage someone. It was such an awesome weekend, and Arcom obviously served on Kids Church on Sunday, and if I'm being honest, I wasn't like over the moon about serving on Kids Church. I haven't served on Kids Church for over 2 years, but I think throughout that week, like as I said, from Wednesday, the Lord was stirring in all of our hearts, and when it got to Sunday, when we walked in there, it was really such a beautiful time spending time with the kids, and we are quite a big con group. So there was a lot of us with all the kids, and it was almost this like, it was such a joy to just serve and to serve the kids and to color in with them. And we also did a little prophetic activity with them, and just trusting that the Lord would use them in what we'd given them to color, or what they'd chosen to color, and the scriptures that we'd written down, just that they would also be able to do something prophetic for someone. And it was just such a beautiful time of serving with the kids, and I really think that the Lord almost like softened my heart even just to serve even more, and or gave me sort of a love for the kids again. And I think, it was really so beautiful. And I think that just having that servant heart, or that heart to serve, is so important. Doesn't matter where it is, in what area of the church, but that we just go in with an open heart and a willingness to serve.
I'm reminded, Andrew put a little thing on Facebook, I think on Friday morning, where he said, a health of the church is not measured by its seating capacity, by its sending capacity. And I think if we have that heart of serving and just, I'm here, I'll serve whatever, he's faithful, and he actually is doing he showed off a bit in giving Ella something, but through Ella, touching other people's lives. Good. Francois.
Good morning, everyone. So I'm Francois, for those that don't know me. So I'm going to take it a year back. A year back this time around, I was probably hungover. And so let's take it back to the day my salvation came. 31st of December 2023. So my younger brother basically told me, it was a night out after I went out partying, and he basically just said, it's time to actually use your godly gifts for God. And funny enough, I never ever was confronted about it, and I never actually went for it. And I just saw Jesus in my brother, and I just knew it's time. So let's speed it up a bit to, let's say, when I messaged Chad, the 30th of January. So I was basically missing Chad. I'm like, hey, Chad, I hear you have a church in Georgia. I heard about you. Can I come? So Sunday came. I knew no one. And I heard people were getting baptized. And so they told me, just come with. Just get a swimming pants and let's go. So I was just basically getting baptized. Everyone was just getting baptized. And Marcel was sitting next to me. I was just basically praying, Lord, if you want me to get baptized, let me be so bold to ask. Let someone ask me if I want to get baptized. So just like 10 seconds afterwards, Marcel just asked me in the sense of, are you going to swim? And I just knew, okay, I'm going to get baptized. And so basically I got baptized and stuff. So from that day, I got an everlasting family in the church. And from there, from meeting Piri for coffee, joining the comm, going to the camp and all. So basically, I've been drinking, doing drugs, sleeping with girls. Actually, funny, the night before my brother told me to come to Christ, I was actually trying to sleep with a girl. I've stopped drinking for 2 months, didn't do drugs, stopped with everything. God has totally changed my life because I only surrendered because I had faith in Him. And it's only been 3 months, and I'm asking God, like, how? Because it was because of my faith. It was because I surrendered. And now, to speed it up till now, for the guys that don't know, I'm moving to Durbanville end of August. So basically, I heard last week, Monday, I'm moving to the Cape Town branch in my company. And so I was like, how can I leave George? God, you gave this to me. You gave me this everlasting family. And so I basically went to comm leaders, elders, and just asked for prayer. And so it basically just came down, don't idolize this, what I have gave you, above my will. And I was like, okay, God, okay. And He said, take a leap of faith. It was a Tuesday. I was like, okay, should I leave my job and stay in George or what? And so basically just came down, take a leap of faith. I have faith that I will still give you this in my kingdom. And go out to Cape Town so that you can grow and do my work. And the funny thing is, it's only been 3 months, and He already wants me to do His work. And it's just basically, isn't that a revelation of what God can do? It's never about you. It's actually about God. You just have to have faith and surrender and actually give Him the chance to take out all the bad and let Him rebuild you. And you know what? Every time you do something for someone, you are actually glorifying God because He has built these qualities and gifts within you that resembles Him. So every time that you do something, you're actually basically praising God. Amen.
And I think for me, what was very special about Francois is I was in Joburg that week where I needed to hand in my laptop or not, and he was persistent. He wants to talk to me. He needs perspective on this decision or this thing that, and it was stirring for me that a young Christian, someone that's recently part of us, grabbed one of the values. And he was surrounded by a lot of people to give word, give encouragement. We pray with you. We're in a leadership position at an opportunity to sit with him, saying, well, we feel in the Lord this. Guide him. And he was just this humble heart that he had as a young Christian and as someone that recently joined us and understanding how do we make decisions, big decisions. Well done, Francois. And we're excited to hear more about your Cape Town stories when you come with more stories and more testimonies of what God has been doing through your life. Bury and learn. Okay.
I'm not actually going to be sharing. Barry's sharing on my behalf. I'm supposed to be lying on a beautiful beach in the Greek Isles right now, but my life took a different turn, and it might seem odd that Barry's sharing about something that happened to me, but it also impacted him. My heart's not ready. I know that what you spoke on this morning was incredibly challenging, but my body's still in a bit of trauma, and I'm not really ready to share yet.
Okay, so, I mean, Lynn looks really good right now, right? The doctor, well, let me go back 15 days. Let me go back 15 days ago. Lynn was really not feeling good. But if I go back for the previous 10 years, she's been struggling with health. We have been praying. We've been interceding. We've had people pray. We've just been believing God for her health. And she has experienced some out of this world miracles in the past. But in this particular case, we prayed and we prayed. We weren't getting the breakthrough. And so 15 days ago, God used a moment, a simple conversation with my daughter-in-law, chatting to Lynn. And they were just talking about how she wasn't feeling so good. And Taryn said, "What, Lenny, why don't you get a CT scan? It's like you having a conversation with somebody and saying, and they're saying, oh, I can't sleep. You say, why don't you give up coffee? And then it's like a breakthrough. Something so simple, but when we trust God, he uses the simple to bring profound change in our lives. And so as she told this to Lenny, and Lynn said to me, Taryn reckons I should get a CT scan. What do you think? And in that moment, God just said, that's it right there. And I was like, Lenny, that is from God. We need to go get a CT scan. So I said, arrange it. So she phoned up MediClinic all over the country. Nobody was interested. Sorry, you have to have a referral from a specialist. You can't just go and get a CT scan. We should have thought about Michaela. But anyway, so then God gave us, you know, God says if you ask for wisdom, he will give it to you. And he gave us a moment of wisdom. He said, go to the MediClinic emergency and just tell them you have to have a CT scan. And I tell you, I didn't think it would work, but it worked. And so we went there 15 days ago. And when the scan came back and the doctor looked at Lynn, they said, I can't believe you're actually still sitting there. You know, earlier we were singing that song, and I ran out of the grave. And Lynn was like, I ran out of the grave. So what was amazing was that the doctor on the CT scan saw that she had two massive kidney stones. They call them staghorn kidney stones in each kidney. And these things were actually poisoning her. And the first time that I ever saw the specialist was on that Sunday morning. He said, your wife is in a lot of trouble. What a nice thing to say to the husband, right? Your wife is in a lot of trouble. And I didn't know what that meant. Then he said, listen, she's got this thing. She's going to have at least two or three operations on each kidney. And at that point, we just started saying, Lord, we want you to shrink this thing, remove it. But if we have to have an operation, let him get it out on the one side in one shot. And I know that you guys, you and Lindy, came and you prayed for that. And you know, she went in, and on the Tuesday, he managed to remove the entire thing in one shot. And that has been the start. She's got to go back in a month's time for the other side. But what is amazing is how God used that moment, that simple conversation, to say, go and have a CT scan. And so we are just trusting God that in this next moment for the other kidney, maybe God is going to do another miracle. But if not, that it will just be the one shot op and it will remove it. And I'm just looking forward to having her healthy again, because she used to be full of energy. And when the doctor saw the CT scan, I just can't believe you look as good as you do. You look really good anyway. So, yeah, all praise and glory to God. Amen. Yeah, I think some of you guys have seen when guys go in for an op or some about a kidney stone. They give you this little bottle key. I'm not sure what bottle key. There's a specific name for it. But if you look at the bottle key, you need to, okay, where's the kidney stone? Oh, there it is. But if you look at the thing, that rock, they took out of Lynn's one kidney. And if you hold, maybe, if you know, ask her, invite them for a coffee, and she will show you that thing. It was half a bottle full, half, three quarters. Normally, guys go into hospital with, and then it's this little stone that they take out. I think that's part of the miracle that Lynn is looking well as this. And we prayed for her, and we see this energy, but Energizer Bunny. You remember that ad when they put in this new batteries? We're excited to experience that Energizer Bunny of Lynn as you continue on your path of health. Kian, groot Kian, nie klein Kian.
Good morning. Oh, wow. So my story began a year ago, but I know. So 3 weeks ago, we went to youth in Cape Town to a youth equip 412. And that Sunday we were in Mulnerton, I think. And during worship, the Lord showed me a picture of this big house in a massive field, green field with rolling hills. But I was lying inside of one of the rooms in the houses, sick on the bed, unable, like almost paralyzed. And as I saw the picture, like almost time went on. And as time went on, I got better and better. And I walked, as I was completely healed, I walked out on the porch of the house, looked out on the grass, and the Lord told me it's time to run. So the reversing the time spent in the bed. During the time spent in the bed, the Lord worked profoundly in me, which starts last year, June, a year ago, which is quite cool. So there were three things I prayed during this last year in faith, asking the Lord to do and deal with in me. And it's actually quite cool to see how faithful he's been. So the first prayer was, Lord, show me your father heart and where I belong in the kingdom. When I prayed that prayer, I think a week after, the Lord started revealing abandonment issues and rejection issues within me due to the past and family issues and stuff. And how that has affected my friendships and how I build with people. And I think the one morning, in my quiet time, his presence was so tangible that I felt the warmth of his embrace and the love, which was incredible. And the second prayer was, show me how you see me. Show me how you see me. And the day after I prayed that prayer, the Lord came again into my room during my quiet time and showed me his love for me, but also I felt his holiness and the pureness of who he is, almost basically like this black and white, me being the black, full of sin, and him being the white. And I felt his grace. And he showed me during that time how what I thought was dealt with in the past wasn't completely dealt with. And as I started chatting to people around me, the men around me, he brought complete healing and freedom in certain areas of my life. And the third prayer was, refine me, which is a very bold prayer, I must say. And I think I prayed this prayer in the beginning of the year, and wow. the biggest thing I think he refined me in was how I submit to authority. And I would say I'm quite stubborn sometimes. And for me, if I have all the facts, I make a good judgment and I stay by that judgment. And this last year, not this last 6 months, my parents and I had very beautiful chats after church and on a Monday evening where we sat on the couch with tears in our eyes. Shame the one time we shouted, don't chat. But during the 6 months, he told me, the Lord actually showed me that I need to submit to my parents because he actually, or in the Bible it says submit to God. And how can you submit to God if you can't even submit to your parents? And my dad, and after the big, it was almost a big blow up, my dad and I went on a road trip to somewhere. It was a road trip. And during the one day, or the Saturday on the, in the car, he told me he wants me to totally surrender my heart. And I was like, oh, I know it's going to be tough. I know it's going to be intense. But I was like, okay, I will surrender my heart, even though I know or I think I'm correct and you're wrong. But I'll still surrender and I'll submit to you, to your guidance. And I did. And fast forward, 3 weeks ago, the Lord showed me the picture of It's Time to Run, which actually resembles how this last year I was sick in bed, and now I can, now I'm healed, and now it's time to run full out for Him. So, yeah.
Yeah, and again, I think that's not the end of the story. I'm almost tempted to say we're just out of the starting blocks. And yeah, so looking forward to see the results of you running hard, Kian. So keeping it in the family, I think part of Kian's testimony is not in a vacuum. It was through tears and hard discussions. So I just felt Michelle to come and share what God has done in your life. And I think there's a link to Kian, but that's irrelevant. It's what has God done in your life.
So I attempted to add some structure. I had clothes on underneath. that was loud. I attempted to add some structure to it. But yeah, be with me if it's maybe a bit messy. So in the beginning of this year, God spoke to me about faithfulness. And it's amazing how in the first 6 months, he's been teaching me how to be faithful. And he showed me what his faithfulness looks like. And thank you. And it really felt this year so far as if like the devil wanted to come and just destroy everything, but God in his goodness and in his faithfulness has in every situation has come through for us, and in every situation he's been with us every step of the way. And so this is the last year that Kian's in the house with us, and it's been an interesting time. It's been interesting to figure out how to parent an adult who's still in school, how to parent someone that we believe God has got great plans for, how to allow him to go to war by himself and for himself, but for us not to take our hands off completely. It's been interesting. As he said himself, I'm glad he said it so that it's only saying it. But he has been challenging our authority quite a lot. And it's been tricky. It's been one of those things where a part of you in your flesh wants to go like, how dare you? How dare you, after 18 years, start doing this now? And then there's a part of you that goes, Jesus, I know he is finding his place. And we, like, help us to walk alongside him well. To help him to run for you. And things went well. As Kian said, there's been many conversations, many tears, many shouting fights, especially
One, when before he went to Paul's camp, I was very upset with him about something, and I was very verbal about how angry I was. And within all of this, we've been processing with people and helping, like asking people to help us just find our way. And one of the things that someone said, I actually spoke to Dan about what happened the morning, and Dan said to him, he just asked the question, like, would you speak to other people the way you spoke to your son? And when Han spoke to me about that, I was actually offended. I was actually upset because, like, he's my son. Like, how? Surely I can. But God didn't leave me. He kept on speaking those words in my ears over and over and over again. And then at one stage, when Julie Delisle was here, Julie and I know each other very, very long. I just had a coffee with her, and we had this conversation, and she actually said to me, Michelle, the only thing that Kia needs from you is love. And I said to her, that's the one thing I don't feel towards him at the moment. I feel so numb and so angry, and I don't feel like I can love him, and which was weird. I'm his mother, and so I went home and I asked God to show me what this thing is, because I wasn't comfortable with not being able to love my son. And God showed me that there's a person from my past that he showed me that I viewed Kian as that person, and I didn't see Kian anymore as my son, the son that he gave me. And coincidentally, I don't think it was a coincidence. I think it was all part of Satan's plan in that moment. This person actually did pop up and made some waves in our family for a bit. And it's in that time. In the past, I would get very anxious, very angry, very consumed with things around the situation. And God actually showed me a picture. And it was a picture of ropes that was wrapped around my body, like from my head down to my feet. But the ropes weren't tight. They were just wrapped. And as he pulled the rope away, it just fell off my body. And I could literally, like, climb out and walk out and walk in freedom. And I knew God was going to do something. And, it was incredible the moment that God showed me that I was not seeing Kian as Kian, the son that God gave me. I was seeing Kian as this person. I could actually go, Jesus, help. Jesus, come through for us. Jesus, you need to pull into this mess, into this destruction, because I knew that the devil was coming and he was out to kill and steal and destroy everything between me and Kian and in our family, just with everything that was going on. But I knew that God was faithful, and God promised me in the beginning of the year that he's faithful, and he's been showing me that he's faithful. And and even in the showing me what the root of this thing in my heart was, God actually created a space for me to be able to repent and to ask Kian for forgiveness. He created a space for me to actually realize I needed to forgive myself for the decisions that I made in the past and the consequences that's been, like, almost following us all this time. And he made a space for me to actually go, enough is enough now. Enough is enough. And he gave me the courage to actually stand up and say, enough is enough now. And it's incredible that just, like, in doing that and in allowing God to come into our mess and into our complete destruction of what the devil was trying to destroy in our family, I could feel the ropes fall off, and I could feel the actual, like, the getting out and walking into freedom. And I am incredibly grateful. I am so grateful for friends around us. I'm so grateful for this church. I am so incredibly grateful for God not leaving us in our mess and in our chaos and in our destruction. And I'm so incredibly grateful for God's faithfulness and him actually being willing to come into our mess with us. And I'm very excited. And I love him now, to the moon and back, again.
Are you encouraged? So, I've had a few people come to me and say, there's a testimony that I really feel I'd love to share. And I know a couple of these testimonies myself because I've spoken to these people. And I can tell you that they're beautiful testimonies, encouraging testimonies. So Ntando came to me and he's had a journey of faith through some quite hectic things that have gone on. And Heike came to me and she's had a journey of faith through some quite hectic things of health that she's had to go through. And I think you should hear their stories, but I think for the sake of time, I may not be able to let them share this morning. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't hear them. It means you should go ask them about it. Maybe they'll get a chance sometime to share from the front, I don't know. But whether they do or not, go and talk to them. Trust me, they're both stories you want to hear. But one other person came to me with something that she actually really does not want to share. Because she's not very confident to come to the front. It's a beautiful story. And it's because it's so hard for her to share it. I actually think, Tanya, you need to. So come. And so this is the one testimony that I'd actually like to hear to be shared just as we finish. Because I think this testimony speaks of something that is the whole journey that we've heard this morning through all of our testimonies, actually. That's cool. I'll stay with you. And I think, you know what? It's when it's harder to stand at the front and speak of God's goodness, doesn't that give God greater glory? Yeah? So, you good?
Everyone that knows me knows that this is, I think, the hardest thing that I've done in the entire time that I've been in Georgian. Sorry, I'm just trying to get a grip here. I'm just shaking. Sorry. Okay, I've joined Georgian in October last year. And all I can say is my life has turned. It's the complete opposite now. When I joined, we were basically we were quite kind of isolated from. We were just living, you know, but we were isolated from people, and because we were in churches before, but our experience wasn't. We had a good experience. So I asked God to place us somewhere. So now it's louder. That's what I'm trying to avoid. okay. So, yeah. So I asked God to place us somewhere that would be a family and that we won't have to move again. We want to be placed somewhere where we belong. And we landed here. It's a long. That's also a story in itself. But basically, from that, after that we joined a comm, and after that, everything changed. I keep saying that Josh Jen is very good with taking you out of your comfort zone, and forcing you out of your comfort zone. But what I've realized since, you know, it's. Throughout this journey is that being out of your comfort zone helps you to grow. And what's happened in Josh Jane, it's created this, for me, I've had my life, I haven't had an easy life. So the experience, what I needed was a safe space. So in Josh Gen, what I was taken out of my comfort zone, but I was taken into a safe space where I could grow and where God showed me, you know, he showed me a lot of things, but the most thing, sorry, I'm Afrikaans, so I'm running out of English. Sorry about that. The other thing is that he put me in a calm and where he showed me, he taught me how to start to receive, because all the good gifts, all good things that you get in life is good gifts from God. That's what it says in the Bible. Yeah. But if you're not able to receive it, and you're not even able to receive from other people, how can you receive good gifts from God? So I was in a place where I was struggling financially. There was times there wasn't even food, there wasn't petrol. We were at the point where I had to literally sell everything just to do all that I need to do. And that was when I joined Josh Gen. And after that, I had a community that just covered me and helped me and walked with me and prayed with me. There was this prayer group that prayed for me to get a job. And, you know, people came and they brought food, and they, people in this church that don't even know me, took my son to youth. People in this church that don't even, I've never met, paid for petrol for us. And stuff like that. Sorry, it's very personal, but I just feel like I'm supposed to say that. It was difficult for me. It was a journey to learn how to accept from other people. Mm. And it was a real struggle. It was the most difficult thing I had to learn how to do. But God completely made me dependent on my community and my group. And what happened, the minute I accepted it and I just went with it, and my life changed, and I got a job and with a very good salary, and I'm able to bless other people now because of that. So it was a journey, from the day I joined this. Sorry, I'm still shaking. From the day I joined Josh Gen, God showed me that I'm out of my comfort zone, but it's a safe space, and he wants to give us all good gifts, and you need to be able to receive it, and that's the only way you can if you're open to receive it. So yeah, that's what I feel like I needed to say.
Thank you, Tanya. That was beautiful. You know, isn't it interesting how God had a plan for Tanya and Robbie, that he was going to bring them, and he always intended to bring them in a place where they'd receive blessing and plenty, and be in a position where they can bless others, where others can receive from them. But before God brought them to that place, he actually taught them how to receive. And that's the way that God does things. He puts us in family so we can bless each other and we can receive from each other. Because it's often in the receiving from each other that God is glorified. True? And then we can stand here and talk of beautiful testimonies. It's family. It's the family that God puts us in.
How to end off? We felt we want to end this off with communion, and I want to ask the dads to go and get the juice and the crackers for your family, and if your group is too big for your hands, take your oldest with you to help you carry. I just think there's something prophetic in that. So And then before we rush off, we're not going to pray or anything from the front. I want the dads to facilitate that communion with you as a family. And there's two specific reasons why we're going to end up with this. I think the first, and I think we've touched on it a lot, is to say thanks for the testimonies. And I want to challenge you guys, make it personal for your family. I think, Tanya, well done. This is probably the best intro that I could have prayed for. Thank God for the testimonies in your life and in your family's life. That's close to you guys. And with you guys, that's the families are far. Find a family, yeah, that you can just share with as well. Or if you feel like you're close enough as a family, do it in that. And yeah, let one of the boys share that or lead that, please. And then the second one is, there might be some of us that sits here and says, oh my God, I don't have a testimony. My testimonies or something that God did is something of years ago. And I need a fresh revelation. I need something. What a better place than the foot of the cross to come and sit and just, Lord, I'm bringing this challenge, this issue, things I need a revelation of. And that's the two reasons why I felt we should end up with communion. And just before we go and end up with Trev, even in worship at this word, I think just cements this for us. So I'm just going to ask him to quickly share. Then we're going to have communion.
So when you go to a pool, who here puts their foot in to feel the temperature of the... And this morning, just during worship, I felt the Lord say, like, some of us come here and we kind of dip our foot in and we're like, ah, it's too cold. I'll come back when it's warmer. And the scripture that came to mind this morning was Psalm 34, verse 8. And it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And this morning, yes, I felt the Lord call us to taste of His goodness, to taste, because when we taste something, that taste lingers. And like we had the curry last week from Dan's preach, we went to have the curry and we chose medium, which was actually quite silly because it was really hot for us. But we could still taste every single spice they put in there, and so it reminded me so much this morning of tasting of God's goodness, and not just and actually diving into what this is. Having communion is tasting of what God is. Sharing testimonies, that's tasting of what God, you know, of God's goodness. And everything we do as a church, it's not just, okay, I come to a Sunday and dip my feet in. But even this, taking communion is so, so vitally important for us as a church to taste of God's goodness.
Good. I think the last thing is just as we take communion and as we pray, there was a word this morning that there's a call to raise the bar in our prayer life. Are we praying into things specifically? And I really want to encourage you guys, as you take communion, raise your bar of your prayer life. Praying into things, even if you want to be as bold, and that's another testimony if you want to hear, praying for a specific color for a specific thing in your house that you need, or that trusting the Lord for. And if that doesn't make sense, happy to have a coffee.